that time for another DriveFysics.com video presentation. DebatePhysicsAlso.com, but still no one volunteering to enter into conversation or even video exchanges in any kind of reasonable format regarding any of these physics subjects. So it's like disappointing, but it's the world that exists. They're all faithers. You know, they have faith. They don't need to understand. They don't need to be able to defend their faith. No, they just have the faith. Ugh. Anyway, well, I guess I want to keep that one. And so we'll do a question first. Posing some questions. All right, so there's a very simple experiment done, all kinds of different ways. So you have a one mass, and you have a one mass moving, okay? And so this one mass is moving, and is a platform, essentially, for the second. Will be a platform for an object not moving. So it's not moving. This one's not moving. This one's moving. You combine them. You can either hit them into each other with Velcro, or you can just combine them. Drop this one on top of this one from a little tiny distance. And then you end up with a two-mass object, okay, and it will go one-half the velocity, the original velocity. So it had one V here, it's going to have one-half the velocity as it leaves. Okay, now this experiment I can show, like I said, five or six different variations. I've seen a guy do it with clay, you know, putty. Okay, so he has a little plunger on this, and it hits a tube of putty here, and the putty combines the two carts. Velcro, magnets, lots of different ways to combine the two weights, and then the simplest one, just drop it. All right, now the argument is that when this takes place, we started, okay, we'll say that the amount of momentum was 100, the amount of kinetic energy, and when we're after we combine them, we only have 50 KE, okay, joules of energy. So we lost, okay, half the energy in the process of adding the extra weight. Because they say the two-mass object only has half the kinetic energy of this one-mass object moving twice as fast. That's what their formula, okay, one-half mv squared, says. Now, momentum says everything's just fine. This has the same momentum that this had because, yeah, it's got half the velocity. So it's, you know, m times v, and everything looks just fine. Just works out just fine. Equal. Nothing changed to the energy because we didn't do anything to change the energy. We just added more mass, okay, and the energy incorporated that new mass and took responsibility for dragging it along. Now the simple argument is will you concede as a fact that if I apply exactly enough force to take the two mass section, okay, the second mass I added, and I just use exactly the same force it would require to stop it from moving, okay, going half the velocity, and all I want to do is take away its velocity. So let's say we levitated it with magnets, and it's just floating along now, going the same velocity as the cart's going, which is one half of the original velocity, and we're just going to stop it from moving. It's no longer going to have a velocity. We're going to apply a stopping force. We're going to eject it, in a sense, in a way where the cart gets the energy. So just saying the stopping force to stop this from moving would be exactly the force that I lost. And the fact is if I do eject it, okay, where this falls off the cart going nothing, that is, I have a little plunger here and I shoot this off the cart and it falls straight down again. So as it was supposed to, originally it wanted to fall straight down and it fell on the cart instead. So now we're just going to put it back to where it would have been. That is, it's not moving at all. And that exact force will put this back up to 1V. And I'll end up with the one mass going 1V. Now obviously the energy was not ruined by deformation, right? They use that as an excuse, deformation, some other thing. Because clearly I can get all of the energy back again just by ejecting what I accepted as mass. So I can just eject it. The recoil will make the cart go back to being a one mass going 1V. It's just a fact. It's just the truth. Do you believe that's the truth? Do you understand that that's the truth? And that, well, you obviously can't understand it because this has already been described to you and you failed to understand. But do you understand it? This is when this landed, all the cart did was it had to now drag this along. It had to spread its force, whatever energy it had to dilute it with this other object. And obviously through the dilution process, the energy, the velocity has to go down. And then if we get rid of that, you know, you just can't get rid of it. You can't just shoot it straight up in the air because then it's still going this way. It still has the energy you gave it. You have to force it to give you back the energy. So what you're saying is if I force it to give me back the energy, that is, I push it in the opposite direction that I'm moving at exactly the same speed, the 1/2 velocity, I shoot it that way with 1/2 velocity, so now it's going zero. The fact is my cart will go back to its original velocity. I'll get back what I lost by dragging it along. So momentum provides a perfectly clean answer, perfectly complete, and your KE formula makes no sense. Because it's not destroyed energy. It didn't have this absence of joules. Okay? It still has the energy. It's just that it's spread over a larger amount of mass. And that's all that happened in the experiment. So, okay. So, I mean, the exact question is, do you understand that all I have to do is give this cart back exactly the force that's in that object? And if I give it back the amount of energy it takes to remove this object back to zero, that it will go back to exactly what it was going before. So there can't have been any loss of the energy. All right. Yeah, it's just the tricky part. It's really easy to combine things. It's hard to separate things, right? I mean, that's the work part, right? It's no work for two atoms or, you know, to jump into each other. That's easy. Sticking things together is easy. Pulling things apart is hard. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you're changing the amount of energy of the actual object, because it's harder to pull two magnets apart than it is to let go of them and have them smash together. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, change the fundamentals of the actual objects you're playing with. So the fact that it's harder to remove energy from something than it is to give something energy. Yeah, this giving it means you're changing it. And, you know, it's just the way it is, and then you have to change it back. So you always have to apply another force to change it back. You can't stop it from moving with nothing. Just as you couldn't start it moving with nothing. See, I mean, in these examples, the cart's already moving. So we're not accounting for the fact that we had to put the original energy in. All right, well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, to me, it's a pretty clear illustration of how kinetic energy just doesn't work. It's nonsense. But whatever. Whatever. I'm just saying, well, you can see that if I apply the same force, if I give this two-mass object, if I give it the same energy, you know, the one mass that you're now going to eject half the mass, if I give it the energy that it would take to put it back to where it was, zero, that it will go back to its original velocity. All right. Pause, and then we'll do some cruddy comments. All right, should be back. So, comment. All right. Hello, Gary. Hope you're well. Have you heard of Eric Lanier and seen any of his episodes in a series called The Real Crisis in Cosmology? No, I never heard of him. And then you go look him up, and it's the channel Eric Lanier has, like, whatever, 3,000 subscribers or maybe less. And then he has a whole fusion thing, you know. He's trying to sell the idea that he's going to make a fusion generator. So, yeah, whatever. Fusion? whatever, you know, yeah, fusion. Yeah, not going to happen anyway. So he wrote a book in whatever, the 90s, about how the Big Bang didn't happen. Big deal. I don't find any of these cosmological subjects at all interesting. All right, they really don't have anything to do with physics, frankly. Rational physics. It's magical gravity well, you know, an infinite amount of energy is available somehow. I mean, okay, fine, whatever. You want to believe that crap, your business. And frankly, again, he's a dissident for what I would consider to be the wrong reasons, because he thinks there's, you know, double wormholes or some other kind of bullshit. Who knows? I'm just saying, it's, you know, he thinks he's going to create the pressure that's inside the sun. You know, something created by a gigantic amount of collected mass and the gravity associated with it, and that somehow on Earth we're going to somehow create the same circumstance with magic. You know, the only way we can create those kind of high pressures is to put insane amounts of energy in. How can we get any energy out if we have to put an insane amount of energy in? Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, thanks, but no thank you. Not really on any of the subjects I have expressed any interest in at all. I mean, a bare amount. I mean, I'll go as far as to say, I mean, I think there is a rational explanation for redshift, cosmological redshift, you know. It's not because space is expanding or any of that horse shit. It's because photons actually do hit every now and then a hydrogen atom, and they are degraded through the process, and that's where the redshift comes from. Anyway, all right. So this other asshole, the iron asshole, just won't leave me alone. I asked him, just stay away, because you don't pay any attention to anything said. You're useless for conversation. You don't respond in any rational way to all the points made. You just sit there and keep spouting absolute irrelevant crap. Go hang out with the perverts at the Steve Channel, okay? The little, the kid guy, the adult males who like to play with children. All right. There is no free energy from your lever wheel flinging different masses at different radiuses. It's overt in your calculation. So I'm just saying there's no denying. I asked the simple questions, right? I mean, the fact is the thing will oscillate. So we're back to the simple lever idea. The half mass twice as far out. So we got a two mass here. We got a half mass out here. That lever will oscillate perfectly. And the fact is, if you do the calculation, there'll be 2x the kinetic energy on this side as there is on this side oscillating. This will have a small oscillation. This will have a large distance of oscillation. It's obviously the velocity will be 2x here, which means it will be 2x the kinetic energy. Fact. Yes, they balance. Well, how do they do that? One of them has to get its energy from the other one. If one has twice as much energy as the other one, then obviously that's not the definition of balance. So you're not addressing, you know, what was asked. And yes, the longer arm mass rotates at twice the velocity, of course. So he's conceding it's going twice the velocity. He's conceding, well, if it's twice the velocity, the math dictates that it's twice the energy. It's twice the number of joules. And then he's saying somehow it's not. Well, of course it is. You have to accept that truth if you're going to accept the other two conclusions. Yes, it balances. Yes, it oscillates. Well, then, yes, it's oscillating with twice as much energy on one side than the other. But as you incorrectly state, there is no difference in the energy required to accelerate the two different masses. There clearly is. Okay, you clearly require 2x the kinetic energy to move this object twice as fast. It's an obligation of your own mathematics. You can't escape the fact that for you to move it, it would require twice the energy to move this, the small distance. That's a fact of your theory. So you just don't pay any attention at all. So you can't say that. It's just, so you've just said something ludicrous. Okay? I didn't incorrectly state anything. Okay? What I stated is an absolute fact. It's a fact that to move this longer distance in the same time requires twice the energy to move this object this shorter distance in the same time. That's an absolute fact by your own theory. And you have to take account for that absolute fact. You can't just pretend it doesn't exist. It exists. It's a fact. Okay? Required to accelerate the two different masses. So again, this has nothing to do with accelerating. They have an absolute velocity. They're not accelerating. You know, you're just playing games with words by talking about accelerating. They have a velocity. And their velocities are tied to each other. They can't not, okay, have proportionally tied velocities. Your problem is the moment of inertia. So it's called moment for a reason, idiot. Because it's about when something starts to move. It's not about any kind of energy used up or consumed. You don't consume any energy by pushing something. As the carts demonstrate clearly, the moment of inertia is irrelevant. If I have a one mass and I bang it into another one mass on a Newton's cradle, I'm going to convey, okay, pretty much, you know, 99.999, if I have a good one, percent of the energy. So the moment of inertia, this will go from zero to the complete velocity. The moment of inertia will take place at a certain integral in time. Yes, this one hits this object, it takes some insubstantially tiny amount of time for the energy to be transferred to the other object before it leaves, the speed of sound within the metal. Okay, but it's a very small, tiny amount of time for that transfer to take place and for there to be a moment of inertia. But the moment of inertia doesn't consume any energy. It's just obviously big things, it takes a little longer to tell all the atoms they have to go somewhere. Small things, it doesn't take as long. But it doesn't consume any energy. So again, you're just making crap up to waste my goddamn time. You piece of suck. All right, your problem is the moment of inertia, which goes at mass x radius squared, so it would take more energy. So again, it's just a lie. It doesn't take any energy. It just, the fact is, it always takes some time for something to know I got hit and I have to start moving. The fact that it takes some time to know that doesn't change how much energy it will take to move the object. Okay, not force on its own. So you have no link to anything proving this has ever been stated by anybody more intelligent than a brozo. Okay, some moron that you're listening to. That's it. You have no reference to this moment of inertia consuming any extra energy. It's all energy that will go to the acceleration. The fact that it takes time, again, one piece of steel, you hit one end of the steel. The other end doesn't know it's supposed to move for a little bit of time. So what? It doesn't change how fast the steel is going to move at all. All right, to accelerate the other half mass than the inner one mass. So you have no evidence that it takes any more energy because the very fact that it oscillates. So you've conceded that it oscillates perfectly well, just like a regular pendulum. It doesn't lose any energy any faster than any other object. If I put the same mass on the other side and oscillate it, it'll oscillate for just as long with the little mass on the outside. There's no moment of inertia difference. There's no change in the function. The fulcrum of the pendulum, the little gear here in the middle, I mean the little bearing, can't tell the difference. I put a half mass out here or a full mass here. It can't tell the difference. It's going to move exactly the same way. That was one of the questions. You concede it moves exactly the same way. If I put a half mass out here, or I put a full mass here, all these atoms will move exactly the same. Not a single one of these atoms will move in any way distinct because there's a half mass out here or a full mass here. And so you're just such a liar. I mean, I've already countered your argument decisively. You can't make this kind of stupid, moronic argument, all right, and be a credible human being. You're just such a dishonest, lying sack of suck to sit here and say something that you've already conceded. You've conceded that it oscillates just fine. You've conceded that Yeah, the bearing can't tell the difference. So this whole lever can't tell the difference. This atom over here can't tell. This atom right here, if I put a sensor on this atom, all right, the most high-tech sensor you have, that sensor will not be able to tell if I take the half mass here or put a full mass here. It will not be able to tell the difference. Do you accept that fact, retard? Because there won't be any difference, retard. Because they weigh exactly the same technically now, because this one is moving more distance in the same amount of time. And it's just a fact. That's the difference. Oh, you're such a piece of stupid suck. All right, so he says false assumptions. This is written poorly. False assumption, comma. It takes the same energy. So this is that's the false assumption. It takes the same energy to accelerate either one mass, one radius, or a half mass, two radiuses. He says that's a false assumption, even though that's what every bit of my experience as an earthling has demonstrated to me, is that, yes, I want to push something, you know, I want something to go half the speed, I just double its mass, and it's going to go half the speed. That's what the previous experiment I demonstrated clearly shows. That's exactly what happens. I double something's mass, it goes half the speed. All right. I don't have to quadruple its mass to make it do that. And it really does take quadrupling, you know. So maybe we'll do some of that. Yeah, I need to erase those. So we'll finish this stupid comment and then do some of that. It does not, because the moment of inertia is greater in the second case. So again, it doesn't matter. Everything that goes into the moment of inertia is energy that will be part of its acceleration. It's not energy that gets thrown away. It's not energy that bounces off. It's not energy that goes into space. It's energy that will eventually be part of its movement. It just takes it a little bit of time for it to spread to all the atoms and for all the atoms to know we're moving now. But it won't change how far it's going to go. It won't change how fast it goes. It won't change anything. That's why it's called a moment of inertia. It's not called the cancellation of energy. It's not called the resistant force, because there is no resistant force. Okay. You're just too stupid. This is the fact. Too stupid. So I've asked you politely a few times now, just go away. Conversation with you is pointless. You are belligerently stupid. It's clear. It's been proven. Go hang out where you belong, okay? With the, you know, the people like telling their little, here's my favorite story about what I did with a 4-year-old. Ugh. Creepy. All right, should be back. So I probably shouldn't have wrote these all the way down here at the end. But anyway, this is 20. You know, 1/2, 20 times 5 is 250 joules. 10 times 7 is 250. 5 times 10. So this is the classic train example. And so their argument is the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour to go half the velocity, I have to go all the way up to 20 tons. 20 ton of train to equal the same joules. That's what they really believe. That's the truth. And here's this weird 7 number, right? So that's the one that correlates, you know. So if I double the mass, it still goes 70% the same velocity. I mean, doesn't that seem a little wacky to you people? I mean, that I still can go 70% the same velocity with twice the mass, and I still have the same joules? I mean, I've have the mass, and I'm, you know, 70% of the velocity, same joules? Come on, it's got to be something when your brain has to click somewhere and say that can't make any sense. So Brozo did this simple experiment, one mass, two mass, okay, and on his air track, all right. And he got these dopey results, you know, just plow them into a spring and see how far they compress the spring. Now, obviously, this is going, you know, twice the velocity, and this is only one velocity for the two mass, right? So it's half the velocity, twice the mass, twice the velocity, half the mass, All right. Now, obviously, my prediction would be, yes, they compress the spring exactly the same amount. The Brozo prediction, you know, Brozo says this physics here, this 7, basically correlates to this 1.4 idea, okay, that you can only go, that you can only go 0.4 faster if I have the amount of mass. Okay, so his prediction would be that the one mass with the high velocity goes 0.4 faster. Okay, so it compresses the spring half as much. Let's call this, you know, the 2 out here somewhere. So this is a 0.4. All right, what did he get as a result? Right in between the two, right? He got the 1.2 result. All right, and it wasn't the first time he got a 1.2 result. He got like a 1.27 in one of his other silly experiments. And they are silly because the results are so far off. So it's obviously 1.2 is just as close to the zero I predicted as close to his 0.4. So it's clearly pretty indecisive, right? But he claims it's a proof. It's a perfect experiment. It was done perfectly well. It's, you know, he doesn't have any complaints. He doesn't see any problem. So he gets a ludicrous number. I mean, it's a number that doesn't fit either theory, and it doesn't fit equally. Now, I would say his measurement can clearly be seen that now the real measurement was somewhere like here, and then we're just really saying what's the Brozosian margin of error? Well, clearly in this experiment it's 20%. It's got a 20% margin of error. I mean, what's the point, right? And this is science, he says, proofs. So that's all you need is a 20% margin of error, and you've proven something. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. And yet, you know, Iron Guy, you're not pointing that out, that that's a ridiculous result. You can't figure out that's a ridiculous result. And yet you come to me with questions when you're so dishonest that you can't even recognize that a 20% error rate is way too high for an experiment to be called a proof of anything. So you're just proving just to what a stupid idiot you are, and that you have some right to waste people's time. And again, why don't you go after the free energy nut on Brozo's board, right? Still no one's commented to his link to the Pepper experiment. Why don't you go pick on that guy and explain to him how he's talking shit. He's talking shit physics. You do that? No. You go ask him some questions? How do you think the Peppers work? How do you think the Peppers generate all that magnetism? And right, it wouldn't even be any use generating just magnetism. You can't move a ball bearing with just magnetism. You know, you need a little more than that. You need to magnetize it first. But anyway, all right. So, yeah. So maybe I got some more questions I'll ask. We'll just leave it, call it a video. All right, so maybe just go with a couple of questions. I could go with yesterday's question again, so if somebody can answer it. Mind you, give me an answer, Ian. What compresses a spring? Momentum or kinetic energy? What decides how far a spring compresses? Because they both can't compress the spring, right? We have different numbers for an object that's going into a spring. What do you think's compressing it? Now, I'd say it's already a proven fact that pounds are compressing it, weight, and that momentum is effectively weight. I mean, I've sort of explained that, but I mean, it's effectively weight. And that's all you're compressing the spring with is the weight you've acquired. You give mass velocity, it has weight. That's how we get our weight on the Earth. That's how we compress a spring and a scale, is by applying pressure. And the pressure is applied because our mass has velocity. That's what gives something the capacity to compress something, to push on it. And it's just the pushing force that the scale will measure, the spring. But you go ahead, let me hear your answer. And the other one is friction. Do you think friction is a proper force? Or do you think friction is just losing your energy by giving it to some other object? that all friction involves is just you hitting something, exchanging what energy you have with it, and giving it your energy. There is no friction force. There's just you losing your energy. Do you accept that as true, or do you think there is really a frictional force? That there's some kind of force countering your movement? Are you losing your energy to friction, or is friction applying a force against you? Yeah. It's almost a too silly a question to have to ask. But anyway, I ask it, see if we get any answers. Alright, we'll call it a video. There's no point. So, we need something other than this peanut gallery of morons to interact with, unfortunately. And so, as long as it's this dismal here, in terms of who's listening, and the quality of the responses is so low, that there really isn't any point. So we need somebody who can be interrogated, answer the questions. Such. All right, so this has been a draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but no available debaters. So till the next time, such.